The American National Anthem is arguably one of the most patriotic songs ever written about the United States. However, what you may not know, and what I was certainly surprised to learn, is that the Star-Spangled Banner's tune was actually composed by a Brit named John Stafford Smith. Hi, and welcome back to Cold Tour, the show where we tour the different cultures Pierce's population has to offer and discuss what makes each cultural makeup unique. I'm your host, Shirin Akash. Joining me for today's episode of Cold Tour is Pierce student Visalali Lucas. And as you may have guessed by now, we will be exploring all things British together in the next half hour. Today is Wednesday, March 29th. It is 3:05 p.m. and you're listening to kpcradio.com. So how are you, Vis?
I'm fine, thank you. Excited to be here.
Good, I'm excited too. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
So you have a lovely accent. Where were you born?
I was born in London, southwest Wimbledon.
Wimbledon?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Like where they do the tennis matches.
Exactly.
All right.
Correct.
Used to play tennis, so that's like the only sports information I know, basically. And now we can move on. So were you raised there too?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Do people ask you about your accent often?
Yes, they do. And they get mixed up a little bit too.
What have you been mistaken for?
South African, Australian, New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have some very distinct memories from my childhood of me and my friends kind of trying to imitate a British accent to sound fancy. I think it's like this infatuation we have as Americans. So did you have that as a child too? Like, do British children ever try to imitate American accents?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes.
I'm actually surprised.
It's in most of our movies, so...
So you watch a lot of American movies, or it's just British movies about Americans? What do you mean it's in most of your movies?
Mostly American movies. Yeah, okay. The big movies.
Okay. Is there a particular accent that's like typically admired by British people?
Mainly what we would think as a standard Californian accent, but it's more Valley Girl now that I've lived here.
The Valley Girl accent.
The Valley Girl accent.
Consider me flattered. I'm just kidding. So why did you decide to move to the United States?
I decided to move here to pursue my acting career.
Okay. What age did you move here at?
19 years old.
So when you were 19, you moved here by yourself?
I did, yes.
So you left your parents and your family behind?
They did. Yes, I did.
Okay. So what contributed to the decision to move here of all places? Like, why LA?
I think it was getting away from the distraction of London, and also just because this is a big industry in terms of you've got Hollywood and everything, and I just wanted to see what it would be like to study here and what the business is like in Los Angeles.
And I just realized we didn't tell our audience how old you are. So you moved here at 19. How old are you?
22.
Okay, so this was 3 years ago that you moved here?
Yes.
All right. Are you enjoying it so far?
I absolutely love it.
Good. Okay. So what age do you graduate from high school? You moved?
We, in London?
Mm-hmm.
16 years old.
So you finished at 16, and then between 16 and 19, what were you doing?
I went into college, and I was doing health and social care. And then on the side, part-time, I was in an acting class.
So this was in London?
Yes.
Okay. Correct. And you graduated from high school at 16. When do British young adults typically finish their first major in England? Because it's different. It's 2 years earlier than from here.
Yes. So, they finish at 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can choose to go into higher education, into college, which would be on the associate's degree kind of level.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also continue on and go on to university, but at the age of 16 it's you're free to do what you would like.
Okay, so college works there. You said there's college and there's university, and here
yes.
We kind of call a university, you know, you can call it college as well, right? So
right.
Can you explain that difference to me?
So our college would be more like a community college.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I can compare it to. And then university is basically, we call it university, but it's the same as college, but it wouldn't be a community college, if that makes sense.
Okay, I know you also call it by a different name. You call it uni, right?
Yeah, uni would be shortened.
Okay, and so you moved here. You moved here where you had already had college experience here and there.
Yes.
So, what would you say is the biggest difference between American education and English education?
I would say it's in America, you have to be more independent.
Okay. What does that mean? What do you mean?
In terms of getting your classes together, for example, in London, we choose a major and the college will sort out all the classes that the major needs. We don't have general education. We cover all of that in high school. So it would just be, if you're studying business, it would just be business. If you're studying acting, for example, just be acting. Anything linked to that, maybe maths would be within business. One teacher would teach that. Whereas here, your major would be business, and you would have to do different classes.
And select the different classes that pertain to your track.
Exactly.
Okay. Have you been back to visit England since you moved here?
Yes, I have.
And where specifically did you visit?
Wimbledon, where I'm from. And
your hometown.
Yeah. Central, all around. I travel a lot around London. It's more too.
How many times have you been since you came here?
A good five
in
times.
The past 3 years?
Yeah, and I was just there.
Awesome. To see your family and stuff like that?
I was actually there this time for work.
Oh, what do you mean? What were you doing for work?
I did a modeling shoot.
Oh, nice. So you model as well?
I do.
Very
sometimes.
Nice. Good for you. So I've never been to England, and even though I'd love to go visit, I've never been. So someday.
Yes.
Other than Big Ben and Buckingham Palace, is London known for anything special?
The buildings, and everything looks older.
Okay. Why is that?
Just because they're designing some more modern buildings, but they have history. They have a lot of history. Their museums are also great. Science museum, art museum, amazing. The knowledge that's in those museums, incredible. Mm-hmm. The London Dungeons, great. Also a great site.
Is that a historical part of London?
Yeah, and you're going back to like the Tudor times and the Tudor horror, for example.
Right, that whole thing. And there's a TV show about that now too, right? The Tudors. So what's your favorite attraction or thing to do in England?
In England? Ooh.
Yeah, broadening it up a little bit.
I know. I think the London Eye.
The London Eye? What is that?
The London Eye is, you basically get on, it's not a ride, but it's extremely high, and you go around really slowly. It takes about 30 minutes, and you see the whole of London.
Oh, okay. Is it like a Ferris wheel?
Yes.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Okay. Because you were saying you go up high and it's around, so I pictured that.
Yeah.
Okay, and where's it located in London? Do you know?
I think it's Waterloo.
Oh, Waterloo. Okay.
Yes.
I know the ABBA song Waterloo, but that's about the last connection I have to that. So what would you tell first-time visitors to go see or do?
Oh, definitely the Big Ben, go to the London Eye, London Dungeon, because I like it. and just everything that's around that area. And with London, there's a lot of signs. It's easy to get around, so you won't have a problem getting around and seeing all the tourist attractions. And you have to try, like, a pub.
Right, going out and enjoying the nightlife as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So since your big move here, what do you feel when you're back in England? Like a visitor, like a local, like an intruder? Like, what is it?
A visitor.
A visitor.
Yes.
Interesting. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel a little bit weird because it's not how I left it. And there's a lot of things that have changed, a lot of things that have closed down, a lot of things that they're building, and it's starting to just become different. So,
right, it's changing even though you're here. It's like, wait, stop.
Exactly. And when you leave a place and you're young and you grow somewhere else, you kind of just expect it to be the same when you go back.
Right. Do you have a lot of family and friends living there?
Yes, I do.
It's everybody?
Everyone's out there.
How many siblings do you have? Like, who did you leave behind?
So I have one sister and two brothers.
Younger, all of them?
All of them are older.
All of them are older. Oh, my goodness. And you're the one who left. That's so funny. Normally, it's the other way around, where, like, the older one leaves and then... Okay. Well, yeah. That's interesting. And your parents as well?
Yes. My parents are there, too.
So do Brits typically have really big families? I don't really know. I mean, you said you guys are four children, so that's pretty big. We're four as well.
So my parents are from Angola and Portugal. They typically do have more of a bigger family. I think Brits have more of a small family, to be honest. Like, I'm talking their parents are born and raised there. They have more of a petite...
Smaller families. Small family. Do you think British culture is family-oriented?
I personally think not so much.
Mm-hmm. How does that, like, play out? I mean, if yes or if no, what would you see that in a family-oriented culture that you wouldn't necessarily see in British culture?
From my opinion, and that's just an opinion, obviously, I think that foreigners out of London, more Europe, are more family-orientated, just at the things that they do together. And I feel like British people just lead their everyday life. Like, they go to work, they go to school, they do what they have to do to get by, not really. Whereas they take the extra mile to get their family together. I think that's more of a foreign thing.
Okay.
Or foreign culture, should I say.
Okay, well, I mean, that makes sense. I don't know. I have friends who are British, but I've never, like, met their families, you know, because they came here. Do you, as someone who's been a part of both cultures, you've been around British culture and now around American culture, what do you think the most glaring difference is between Britain and America?
Ooh, people-wise or...
Sure, I mean, personal space-wise, the noise level, political correctness, the sense of humor, you know, what do you see as a glaring difference in the cultures?
I would say politically, things are definitely extremely out in the open, more in America than it is in London. It is out in the open in London, but I don't know if it's a media thing that it's everywhere in London. I mean, in America.
It's not as discussed in London?
It's discussed, but for children or teenagers, they don't really get into things like that. I remember being at school and I didn't really get into politics, whereas when I came here, it was everywhere. You couldn't get away from it. And
interesting. So it's more out there, out in the open.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, because I think that it's a good thing for people to know what's going on in their country.
Right. So one of the things that I talked about was the sense of humor, right?
Yes.
And I was scrolling through Facebook yesterday, actually, and I happened to stumble upon a British comedian named Michael McIntyre.
Okay.
You familiar with his work?
Yeah.
Okay, so he has some stand-up material, and I loved what I saw so much. I ended up watching quite a few more clips. And I realized he loves to make fun of, like, British mannerisms and language, and he's wonderful at, like, impersonating accents. So the video I found on Facebook was talking about how Americans don't understand English. And he was comparing a bunch of things that are unnecessarily different in American English as opposed to British English.
Yes.
And you know what? Actually, I have a clip for you if you wouldn't mind reading it. I think that in your accent, the punch would be better.
Okay.
So...
The thing about Americans is they say they speak English, but they have to change it to make them understand it more. Things like pavement. So they can't work with pavement, so they've changed it to sidewalk. They needed to know where they were going to be walking so that they wouldn't get run over. I think there must have been a period of time where they ran with the word pavement, but they kept getting hit by cars, so they changed it to sidewalk.
There you go. So that's Michael McIntyre laughing at us for calling it sidewalk. You guys call it pavement in England.
We do.
Okay. So and there's a bunch of other different, you know, words that are different in American English than they are in British English, and that surprises a lot of people because they think, you know, oh, we speak the same language, but there's different words that are changed. So what were some of the ones that surprised you most when you moved here?
Bin.
Bin, what's that?
Bin is trash.
trash, like the thing that goes into the trash or the trash can?
The trash can.
Okay.
Like you would say, can you put this in the... Americans would say, can you put this in the trash?
Right.
We would say, can you put this in the bin? So a lot of the times when I said that, people were like, what are you talking about? Right.
What else?
Band-aid?
Mm-hmm.
We call them plasters.
Oh, that's so funny. In Hebrew, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, plaster. That's funny. Okay, so band-aids, and you would ask for a plaster. And in English, in American English, I should say, it's a wall, like the stuff you spackle holes with in
exactly.
the wall.
Exactly. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, oh, maybe I said the wrong thing.
Okay, so there's a ton of different words. Can you share maybe some British slang with me?
Oh, that's a good one. We say wicked sometimes.
What's that?
Wicked is like cool.
Okay. So like there's a buffet in Vegas called the Wicked Spoon. So that's the cool spoon. I guess someone British opened it up.
Probably. Or someone would say something. And as you would say, oh, cool. British people would say wicked.
Okay. What else? What's another British slang word?
That's a good one. You guys say mate.
Not really. We say dude.
Yeah,
more.
That's true. You do say dude.
That
more.
My British friends say like, oh, you know, tough luck there, mate, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm mate. Trying to think. See, I'm so California.
You've become Americanized.
I know I have. I'm like, what are the British slang words?
Well, okay, so British, I'm gonna go ahead and assume you maybe already knew some of the language differences before you came here, right? Because you said you watched the movies and you were kind of exposed to American culture.
Yes.
Did you watch American shows or listen to American music growing up?
Yeah, I did.
Well, like which ones?
Mostly music, R&B, mm-hmm. R&B and hip-hop, and movies, just mainly everything that came out commercially. It came out in London. Loved Clueless. That's old.
It's a classic.
Yeah. My shows that I used to watch, Will Smith, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, My Wife and Kids.
Okay, so the shows that typically come out here made their way over to your country as well.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I know, you know, British pop culture has had a pretty profound impact worldwide, and I wanted to turn this into kind of a game. Are you a competitive person?
Yes.
Good.
Somewhat.
Okay. Good. No, so I have a timer here.
Great.
And it makes kind of a stressful sound when I start it. So let me wind it up so that you can kind of hear what that sounds like. Okay. Sounds like that.
Okay.
So it's stressful. and what I'm going to do is the following. I'm going to give you a topic.
Okay.
And you have to list as many things pertaining to that topic as possible.
Ooh.
Until the time runs out. Sound good?
Okay.
All right.
And this is in London or just...
Yeah. Things okay. related to England.
Great.
Okay. So the first topic is you have to list as many British singers or bands as possible.
Ooh.
You ready?
Ready.
Okay. Go.
Spice Girls, Adele, Little Mix, Oh my gosh.
It's the timer. It makes you blank.
It does. Blue.
Should I give you hints?
Emily Sanders.
There you go. It's Ginger. He just had a really popular.
Ed Sheeran.
There you go.
Amy Winehouse.
Okay.
How am I thinking this?
What about bands? Think of groups.
Groups. That's a good one.
Like, they're named after, like, not the ladybugs, but the...
Beatles! Okay. Oh, wow! I can't believe I'm forgetting.
So there you go. So here, let me tally this up real quick. You have eight.
Eight.
You listed Ooh. Eight different artists. So the next topic, you're going to try and beat that score.
Okay.
Okay? So let me rewind this really quickly. So the second topic... Ooh, it's going. The second topic that I have listed... is you have to list as many British celebrities as you can think of. So this is more like actors, entertainers, public figures, comedians. Okay?
Wow.
You ready? Kind of? Ready? Here we go.
Yes.
Go.
Russell Brand, Idris Elba, Michael... is it McCall?
McIntyre.
McIntyre. Wow.
What do you think of the royal
Simon
family?
Cowell, Cheryl Cole, the Queen. Kate, Harry, William, Charles, David Beckham, there Victoria you go. Beckham, Mel B, Emma Button.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Jerry Halliwell.
You have a few more seconds. Let's go.
Did I beat that?
I believe so. Here, let me tally this up. That's 5 right there. 10. Ah, you got 15. Yeah, you beat it by a lot. Almost
doubled. I'm
getting
there.
Yeah, okay. So the last round.
Okay.
Can you handle the stress? Are you good?
Trying.
Here we go. So this one is less British pop culture related.
Okay.
I want you to list as many English cities as you can think of. Ready?
Ooh.
Go.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to think now because London is the city of England. Okay, so we have Wimbledon, we have Brixton, we have Clapham Junction, Clapham Common, Notting Hill.
What about starts with an E?
Elsa?
Sure. Ends with an X.
Oh,
that's okay.
Essex. Oh, Birmingham. Brighton.
Oh, all right. So you said that last one right on the ding.
On
so
the...
That one was 9.
Oh, we went down.
Well, it's okay. I just know cities. Most people think of London and they stop there. And you're from London, so
yeah.
That's funny. But I just wanted to expose, you know, how many cities the country has, because a lot of people don't think beyond London.
Yeah, they have, like, I spoke more about the one in London, but they have a lot. They have Birmingham, you have, now that I'm not under pressure, Manchester, Bolton, Liverpool.
Essex, Cambridge.
Cambridge. Loads. And they're all different.
Right.
Compared to London.
And a lot of people don't know that there's different dialects depending on where you are in England. And you can kind of recognize where the person comes from based on their dialect, right?
Correct.
One of my friends told me that, one of my British friends. So one thing that I'd love to talk about is the food. There's an old joke that goes as follows. Heaven is where the police are British, the lovers are French, the mechanics are German, the chefs are Italian, and it is all organized by the Swiss. Hell is where the police are German, the lovers are Swiss, the mechanics are French, the chefs are British, and it is all organized by the Italians. So, do you agree? Is classic British food really so bad?
There is better. Yes.
What's your favorite?
My favorite British food, I would say shepherd's pie.
What is that?
Shepherd's pie, it's minced meat. It's mixed up with carrots, some other vegetables you can put in if you want to. And then it's got mashed potatoes on top and it's baked.
Okay. So, sounds good to me. Meat and potatoes, that's pretty good.
And then you got the fish and chips.
So I found out that fish and chips was actually, I thought that was not British, but it became British. It was like a, it wasn't invented by a British person.
I think it's, it wasn't invented by a British person, but it's the British stereotypical food.
Okay. Well, I mean, still pretty good. What about tea time? I mean, the word tea might as well be synonymous with England, and it's very stereotypical, or is it? You know, is that a real thing? Do you drink tea every day? Is this like a proper ceremony with specific fancy cups and pinkies held up? Like, how does that work?
Yes, I'm sure lots of people do it, but also people are really busy in London, so not specific times, but they do have tea time.
Is tea like something, is it a staple in every British home? Like, is it something you offer to guests when they come by?
Yeah, definitely.
It's more like, so than coffee?
By far.
Okay.
In London, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And is it like, is there a specific way to do it? And are you guys like get upset when you put, you know, the tea before the milk or the other way around?
Yes, we have a kettle. You put the tea bag in, or they have like tea granules. And then you put the water in. Some people take it black, and most people do take it with milk.
Okay. See, so I didn't know that. I never drank tea with milk until a British friend of mine told me that. And then I, you know, this whole new world was exposed. So, Okay. We have a few minutes left, so I just want to ask some last questions to wrap up. What do you think of the royal family? And I'm not asking you to, like, slander their name or anything.
Yeah.
But what do you think of, you know, a lot of money is spent on them and so much importance is, like, placed on their title when they're essentially representative figures. So what do you think of that?
The thing is with the royal family, they're kind of just there. I think that the boys, Harry, Prince Harry and Prince William, are doing a great job just because they actually get out of London and travel around the world and actually go and do things. So they definitely do things. I mean, the boys do things to help out. Also, now that she's died, rest in peace, Princess Diana, she was amazing. She just did so much. She was caring, she was loving, and people spoke about her, and that's how they remembered her. But mainly, like, I think people think that British people have some sort of connection to them. They're just really just there, right, to be honest.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Figures in the background kind of
exactly.
A thing. Okay, so my last question is this. Tell me one thing that you think most people don't know about British culture that you think they ought to know.
Ooh.
And this is beyond the stereotypes, you know, something maybe that you brought with you here and are exposing friends to, or they're surprised to find that out about you.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think mainly the school thing. A lot of people don't know that people graduate school at 16 years old, and a lot of young people in London are very independent, and there are people that are 16 that have their own apartments in London, and people are more stunned by that. But definitely you mature a little bit. You mature faster.
Why do you think they mature faster?
Just because they're put in the position that they have to. When you're 16, you're done with school. Now you have to make those life decisions. Whereas here, 18, you're still in school, so you're still going through the pressure, of course, but...
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. So thank you so much for joining our program. I had a great time talking to you, learning about British culture, so I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So we will be on spring break next week, but tune in 2 weeks from today to tour Deaf Culture, which exists right here as a part of Pierce's campus. Thank you for listening to Cold Tour from KPCRadio.com. I'm Shira Nakash.